If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Tonight, we're going to take another wiggle and jiggle of the combination lock of truth to perhaps be that turn tonight that for some of you will open the treasury of light that is the truth that you are. Each show, we try to present a slightly different angle as we look at the chrysalis of the oneness we all share, holographically imprinted within us as the totality of all it is eternal truth. So our topic tonight is placing trust in truth alone. First of all, what is truth? Truth in Sanskrit is called sat or satyam. And it means that which never changes, which cannot be modified by anything within the worlds of time, space, energy, dimension, becomingness. In other words, it is that which shines as the sun, the great sun, before all of the clouds of appearance that seemingly pass before its face. That is the eternal one, the self, the Atman, that divine, unified field of which we eternally are part and parcel. We've never, ever left eternal truth. We are truth. We're embodiments of truth. And yet, it seems as though everything but truth is prevailing in this world. It seems like everywhere we look within the third dimensional scenarios seemingly being played out on planet Earth, conflicts seem to be raging. Yet every conflict that seems to be temporarily resolved simply gives rise to yet another conflict, and that to yet another. And examine the historical periods throughout time, and you'll see that the only thing that seems to change is the face of the enemy that we project our corporate fear upon. That fear, or false evidence appearing real, always attack, is always born of fear. So the process is something like this. The projection of separate interests, threat. And threat, fear. And fear, attack. And attack, counterattack. And mediation then follows, negotiation, sometimes a truce, a pact, a temporary resolution, and then the process repeats again and again. This is because the real problem is never recognized for what it is, and therefore there's no permanent lasting results. We have been trying forever and ever to fix an illusion. You know, I'm a minister and a counselor, and I have calls with people continually. And almost every time the call is involving a problem, which in truth does not exist. Now, how do you address something to fix it if it is inherently unreal? Well, you know, everyone is destined to awaken. Everyone, every single person on the planet will one day, in their perfect timing, awaken and realize none of it ever happened. It was all a series of dreams.
they will find that they've always been in God. They've always been whole. They've always been sinless, innocent, pure, unmarred, untouched by any dream passage through time, space, dimension, and seeming causation. They will find that they exist in their eternal perfect creations. Yes, you have creations as that divine oneness, that one divine source. You have creations that are magnificent, that could never be marred by the temporal. The things you try to create down here are simply fabrications of projected illusion. That's not really creativity. It's actually imitation. But true creativity only arises when the dream of separate existence dissolves into the radiant truth that you are. You are an embodiment of Sat Chit Ananda. Sat is eternal existence and truth. Chitta or Chit is eternal awareness or expanding consciousness. And Ananda is that sense of eternal wholeness that gives rise to enormous bliss. We have the word bliss, but it doesn't begin to really describe the full meaning of the word Ananda. That's who and what you are eternally. So what is this kerfuffle that we seem to be experiencing as this life, as a seemingly discrete consciousness, a separated being that seems to be moving with other separating beings? What is this? Well, it's an illusion. All of it. Every bit of it. The world we think we see is not real. Haven't you heard that a bazillion times from every single self-realized master and guru and avatar? They all say the same thing. Wake up. You're asleep. You think you're alive, but really you're dead. You need to be born in spirit to have eternal life. Well, you have eternal life. You don't get eternal life. You simply step out of the dream of death. You awaken from the nightmare of destruction. There's a point in which we need to look at the face of devastation, in the face of terror and murder and mayhem and warfare and hatred, and have the strength and the power of Satyam within us to say, this is not real. This is illusion. In fact, you know what the yogis do, some of the Shaivite yogis that follow the path of Shiva in India? They'll go sit on a grave, on a place where there's rotting corpses, and they'll meditate on the impermanence and the illusion of form. I mean, that's really intense. That's a very, very intense meditation. But that's what they do. Or they'll sit and watch a cremation. Actually, I watched one myself. I went to one of these special art theaters that we have here in Hollywood. And I sat for 6 hours and watched a complete Hindu cremation. Actually, I think it was a Tibetan rite. But it was absolutely amazing to watch the dissolution of a body back into its primordial elements, the reduction of which is ash. That's why Sai Baba and some of the Shaivite yogis, well, Sai Baba will materialize ash, and the Shaivite yogis will always put ash on their forehead or sometimes smear their bodies with it. It's called vibhuti. And ash, or vibhuti, is the truth of matter. It is the reduction of matter beyond which you cannot go. So the ultimate reduction of matter is ash. And also, when they wave the flame, when they do the final prayers and the Hindu rituals, they'll wave what's called arati. And they'll have a flame on a brass plate that they'll pass around. And the flame comes up out of a camphor cube. And during the arati, when this flame is waved around the deity that's being honored and around the people in which that deity lives and dwells as the eternal spirit, by the time the arati is finished, the cube of camphor is completely consumed. And that represents the complete dissolution of the form, the misidentification of formless spirit with the concept of form. It's completely dissolved in the flame of realization, of divine Agni, of divine illumination. So illumination is not a change at all, but it's simply the recognition of what's always been the truth, what's always been there. So this universe, this lower universe, is not evolving. It's simply repeating the same patterns over and over, variations of the same theme, basically one of victims and victimizations. But consider this. This is a quote from Sai Baba. The fact is, you see only yourself wherever you look. You talk only to yourself, to whomever your speech is addressed. There are no others. You are all living cells in the body of God. You are God. Now that's a very, very powerful teaching, which in his next representation of appearance as Prema Sai Baba around 2023, he will teach you are God. That will be the pure, non-dualistic teaching that the avatar of the Golden Age will teach. Right now, it's very, very much for those souls that won't be around for another incarnation. When you're ready to drop the dream of becoming and following and listening to others and following others and guessing and groping and questioning, when you're ready to let all that go, and take the truth at face value that every enlightened being teaches, you are divine. Wake up. You are divine. The world of becoming is an illusion. How many times have you mistaken something that's basically very harmless for something that has potential threat? Maybe your baby brother or baby sister threw something down your back and said it was a spider. And you screamed and leapt up in the air, only to find it was just a ball of whatever. Or the one that happens many, many times, it's happened to me, where you're walking in a field or in high grass and you step upon a rope and for an instant you think it's a snake. And boy, all that adrenaline pumps in you and you're ready to either flee or attack it. And then you laugh at your silliness. It's just a rope. But you know that we see all the time phantoms that conjure up fear all around us. And you know why? They're all mechanisms of the separated ego mind. You know, when we chose to partake of the experience of duality, and it is, again, a holodeck experience. It never really happened. But it was, something that we were allowed to do. When we partook of that duality and we bought into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, with that was born a false self or a false mind. We call it the ego or the edging God out part of our consciousness that says, I can do it myself. I don't need God. That's the ego. And that's a false interpretation of ourself that has given rise to a false world. I told you some, many shows back, and I've got to tell it again because it points up something that I think many, many people come up against. Right now we're seeing so many things play out in the illusion that we tend to blame God. It's like, well, how can there be a loving God when he allows this to happen, when he allows that to happen? How can there be a loving God? Well, I don't believe in God, or I'm mad at God, or I'm finished with God. God, what's this happen? I don't want anything to do with God. We blame God, and yet God had nothing to do with the ego's projected imitation world. God did not create death, therefore death does not exist. God did not create war, therefore war does not exist. God did not create terror, therefore terror does not exist. God did not create destruction, therefore destruction does not exist. Well, how can you say that? Don't you watch CNN? Yeah, I watch CNN every day. See where I can send the light. See where I can use it as a meditation to look in the face of devastation and repeat, this is not real. Only the love of God is real. I love it where it says in the Course in Miracles that when we awaken, we will laugh with joy and realize none of it was real, that we made the whole thing up, that we've always, always been safely at home in the heart of God. I say it like this, in highest truth, we have never left the heart of God. That means right now, you and I are one with God in perfect holiness, wholeness, and peace. Maybe your body's old. Maybe it's got some sort of terminal disease. Maybe you just lost someone you love the most in the whole world. What about that? These are nightmares. These are nightmares from which you will awaken to find that nothing has been lost. No one has died. Nothing has been destroyed. You have been in the theater of duality watching a scary movie. The other night I was sitting watching, oh gosh, it was the scariest movie. And I was finding myself wanting to hunker down in my chair and not look at some of the scenes. And all of a sudden that awake part of me said, wait a minute. Silly girl, you're looking at television. Hello. You're looking at somebody's screenwriting. You're watching actors acting an illusion, saying false lines in a false made-up scenario that means absolutely nothing, and you're watching basically the projection on an innocent screen of energy, of light, and sound, and color. And you know what? Life is just like that in the lower illusion. Just like that. Your mind is like a movie projector. That ego mind is busy all the time conjuring up fearful enemies to be fought, dragons to be slain, fearful things to be protected against. The endless lists of have-to-dos, must-dos, should-dos to be protected, you know, borders on absolute insanity. In fact, if you had nothing but back-to-back commercials, and you could look at them as an enlightened being, you would be in hysterical laughter. It'd be the funniest thing you ever saw in your life. We're always trying to fix a body that doesn't exist. We're always trying to stop the aging process and illusion. We're always trying to pump life and redesign the prison house to make the prison stay a little more palatable. We're always trying to dress death and prop it up and say it lives. Isn't that interesting that we do that? But you know, many of us, in fact, I had several people this last week say to me, are we done yet? Could we, like, go home now? I'm so tired of being here. In fact, I've been tempted to feel that way myself at times. But you know what? Nobody's keeping us here but ourselves. Baba says that we seem to be very fond of this play-acting to being a human being. We seem to be very fond of this charade. But one day we'll tire of it. As the old saying goes, you'll get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you'll lay that aside and have enough courage to look at the truth without conjuring up yet another glossy, glazed image. You know, it says in the Bible, thou shalt not make any graven images. And do you know what a meaning of that is? It's not, you know, making a statue of Krishna or Buddha or whatever. It's actually, don't project concept and mistake it for the living God. And what we do is that we constantly project concepts. And the concept becomes what we place our life force into and towards. And everything that has a thought form is a concept woven of a projected image within your own mind. The ego mind projects separation. It's the face of separation. It's the belief embodied that we are separate from God. What is separation from God? Separation from God is hell. That's your definition of hell. Is there a hell? No. Are there hellish states of consciousness? Oh, yes. So heaven and hell is a choice you make within your consciousness. Even the Pope has been quoted to say that heaven and hell are states of mind. Well, I would have to say that one is true and the other is illusion. But, you know, when you're in a nightmare and you're being eaten by the giant snake or whatever, it feels really real, doesn't it? Or you have some horrible experience to where you wake up and your hair is standing on end and you're shaking and you know, you look in the mirror and you look like a ghost. Sometimes our dreams are so bad, our nightmares are so bad, that when we wake up, it takes us a while to get back to ourselves. So dreams can certainly seem real. And I've had beautiful dreams. I don't usually have bad dreams. If I dream at all, I usually have incredible experiences. And sometimes they're so incredible, and I wake up, and it's like, wow, how can that, like, be so real? And I wake up, and it's vanished. God, that's strange. Consciousness is so weird. How can something be seemingly so vividly tactile and real, and you open your eyes, and it's not there? Wow. So these are ways that we can begin to illumine ourselves, begin to wake up, is to question your mind, question your interpretation. You know, the topic tonight is placing trust in truth alone. But I guess many of us know what truth is. So again, the definition of truth is that which is never modified. It changes not. And it doesn't, it isn't relative. It doesn't change with person to person to person. Projections of the ego mind change with person to person. But truth is a unified whole. It is essentially God. God is Satyam. God is truth. So, what is true of God? God is. After you've said that, there's really nothing you can add to it. God is. And, since God is, and truth is, then it would really behoove us to pray deep within our heart to have truth revealed to us. Ah, and the minute we do that, the answer to our separation will respond immediately with inner teaching and inner guidance, because the spirit of truth dwells within us. It's also called right-mindedness. It is that revelation, that spirit of revelation. It is that word of God. No, the word of God isn't written in a book. I don't care how holy you think a book is. A book comes through a distorted mind field. It comes through human receivership. It comes through human interpretation. And all of the interpretations of the ancient past were basically replaced by greater revelations today. In fact, consider this. Maybe some of you were the prophets in the Vedic times. Maybe some of you were the writers of the sacred scriptures and the Bible and the Bhagavad Gita and the different holy writs out there. Maybe you. Would you write the same thing today, given your experience and what you know today? Of course not. So, in time and space, we have an unfolding of greater understanding. And then we make a God box around it and create it as the absolute truth. The absolute truth, beloved, has nothing to do with mental concept. It's impossible to know God through mental concept. God is revelation. It is when everything else falls away, and it just is. And that isness produces that complete sense of wholeness and peace that the world doesn't understand. The world doesn't know about this because the world is part of that whole gerbil cage that is constantly distracting and snaring. So we can slip through the coils of the labyrinth of consciousness by learning to ask. Before we leap into involvement, we ask the spirit of truth within us, is this for me? And there will be an immediate response of either energy supporting the action or a flat feeling that lets you know, no, beloved, that's really not for you. Because if it is for you, you will always have an energy support that comes along from the spirit of truth. Because truth is its own support. It doesn't need any other support. It is the power of God itself. It is the strength of God itself. So in placing trust in truth, we need to really prioritize trust in God. Trust in that inner knowing, which even if it goes counter to everything in the outer world, you know that you know that you know that that is clear for you to do, and that other thing is not. And you've learned to value your knowing. Better to follow what you believe in your heart is true and to go with it until it proves to not be than to follow someone else's truth and just give them your power and your trust, and you don't go within and ask the teacher of truth inside you directly. So always ask for that truth to be revealed. Ask to see what's for you. Ask to have discernment and greater clarity and greater ability to walk in the highest truth that you're capable of embracing. Because the truth can only come to you in a way that will not inflict upon your choice and preference of what you would have real. In other words, you always have your life the way you want it. Even if it looks like a life that's very self-punishing. Sometimes people feel so guilty and they've judged themselves so harshly that they create these punitive lives. But even that, they've asked for it because they believe they deserve punishment for some reason. So we create all these crazy kind of miserable life patternings or dream patterns to deal with our own self-judgment, our own self-indictment. But consider this. Only what God created is real. Only what God creates is eternal, has eternal life, can never die, can never be destroyed. Only God's creation is real, that is like its creator. In other words, the real creation reflects everything that God is. It's eternal. It can't be changed. It can't be marred. It cannot be in any way besmirched by duality. It remains whole, holy, eternal, and perfect, unchanging. And since we are ideas that arose in God's mind, we are identical to God. Eternally whole, eternally holy, with eternal life, perfect and unchanging. So God's creation is totally unlike the world we imagine we are living in. And the truth remains unaffected, even though it seems that everything is going on that is totally unreal. It doesn't affect the truth any more than your hologram is affected by your passage through time and space. So unawakened to the truth, we but dream we have been separated from God. And the world we see in our dreams is not lasting. And like all dreams, it vanishes upon our awakening. So enlightenment, awakening is just like that. It's not a change. It's a recognition It's an opening the eyes and realizing that what you thought you saw was just a dream. And when you awaken to that which is, the illusion vanishes. That means everything you see in the world around you today is going to dissolve into pure light one day. That's called Atma Darshana or Jyoti Darshana. I actually had that experience I told you about some shows back, where doing the Gayatri Mantra 108 times, the whole room dissolved into golden light. There were no forms at all. They completely disappeared. My eyes were wide open. Didn't have my eyes closed. So what happened? The mind was so illumined by that prayer, which is an invocation for illumination, that the Maya simply vanished. So never again have I had any problem realizing that God is light, and God is without form, and God is consciousness, and God is awareness, and that is what I am as well, and you, and everyone. So there's no degrees of good or bad or better or more evolved or less evolved. We're all God. We're all equally holy, equally whole, equally pure. Only in time and space does there seem to be a difference. And that difference is designed for one thing. It's to reflect the opportunity for choice. What is the choice? The choice is to practice moving from judgment to forgiveness. We don't forgive what's happened. We look past what we think happened or imagine happened or dreamed in our nightmare happened. We look past that. We ignore it. We look beyond it. We look through it to the face of Christ, to the face of the Beloved, to the face of truth. We train ourselves to do that because judgment is what locks us in the prison of the ego mind. What you judge in another, you wear, you become it, you are then prison to that. That's why it says that to be forgiven yourself, you must forgive others. It's only in forgiving your brother that you are set free. So it's very interesting because it's always an audience of one. Everything you do is to yourself. You judge yourself and you are locked into that judgment. So that's why we need to relinquish that and train ourselves. And it's a practice. It's an ongoing spiritual practice. And if you want to practice this thought system, you can study A Course in Miracles. That is the thought system that Jesus brought as the correction for the misinterpretation that we have placed on his teachings. The misinterpretation that has grown into Christian doctrine, that has grown around him and has locked him into a very narrow worldview. So he came and gave the Course in Miracles as an internal voice to correct those teachings which were not what he truly wanted to teach. Listen to this. These are three statements that were made in private to the Apostle Thomas and recorded in the Gospel of Thomas. And Jesus told the Apostle Thomas at the time not to repeat them, not because they weren't true, but to protect Thomas, because if he had shared these teachings at the time in which he lived, the people in those days would have stoned him for blasphemy. They were not ready to hear the truth. In fact, Jesus said that. His apostles weren't ready to hear the truth that he had to teach. They have since embodied many times and have come to understand him more directly and are embodied today in many of the masters that you are familiar with in the New Age. But the point being that you have to be ready to hear the truth directly. Otherwise, you're given a happy dream teaching, which is kind of like gets you through the nightmare and into a happy dream, but it's not the direct truth. And a happy dream teaching always has an element of duality sewed into it so it can go down more easily. But tonight we're taking a very direct look at truth. So these are the three things that Jesus told the Apostle Thomas. You dream of a desert where mirages are your rulers and tormentors. Yet these images came from you. Father did not make the desert, and your home is still with him. To return, forgive your brother, for only then do you forgive yourself. So forgiveness is the way we walk in gratitude and in that perfect love that casts out all fear. Sai Baba mentions that we need to love every being so intensely that you are aware of only one. Again, that's where you bypass focusing on the difference of the different personalities and what their body mind says and, you know, the concepts they hold as their belief systems. We train ourselves to look beyond that to the one. That's why he said, whatsoever you do unto the least of these, you've done them unto me. So these are very, very important to bear in mind if you want to awaken and be finished with the dream world. The world of reality is just a choice and a glimmer and a sparkle of light and a transformation of perception in the place that you are right now. At any moment, that truth can dawn full in your mind. I think the only thing we need to do is get out of the way and give full permission for that to happen. And to practice looking at things and telling yourself, this is a concept, a mental concept that's a thought form, but it's not real. I'm looking at energy. I'm looking at vibrations that are held temporarily in place by my mental concept, that's what I want to see. But in truth, I can choose to dissolve that and it will disappear. I can see through it to the subatomic structure. Do you know, beloved, you can't even look at something without affecting its form and its manifestation? That's because God looks out through your eyes. And when you look at something, you affect the subatomic particles and they begin to take shape according to the thought that you hold in your consciousness when you look. I mean, this is truly a quantum holographic universe. My goodness, how fascinating it is when you become not afraid to see the truth. So, just as we train ourselves to look beyond the form to the truth, in fact, if you sit and look with unfocused gaze at anything, I like to take, I don't do it anymore, but I used to like to meditate on a candle flame or a picture of Sai Baba or Jesus. And at some point, or you can do it with a live person, it's even better. You can look into their eyes until all of a sudden their face starts to change and you'll see different images come, old and young and man and woman and different incarnations, and then it'll go into a black and white like a negative. And then at some point it will begin to dissolve. You'll actually see the person's face in front of you or the picture, whatever, begin to dissolve. Until, first of all, you can kind of see through them, and then at some point they utterly dissolve into light. And when that happens, that means you have completely dissolved the concept, and you are seeing truly. You're actually seeing into the energy, the truth of matter itself, which is basically, in the higher levels, the light of God. So these are things we can practice. This is real meditation. This will do a lot more for you than sitting and trying to quiet your mind. To move about and yet be in the meditative, objective observer is a far better spiritual practice for these times. To where, wherever you are, you're constantly meditating on truth. What is the truth behind the form? Show me your face, O Lord. Show me the truth in this situation. Reveal to me the truth that you would have me know in this experience. Assist me to see past the illusion and to awaken in my eternal home in you. You know, the slightest little desire for that is met immediately. all of the masters that have ever worked through time know who you are. They know your name. They know everything about you. At any moment, they can step from the invisible into manifestation in a form as solid as your own. How many times have you met a teacher or an angel and been totally unaware, thinking that stranger that stopped to help you when your car broke down on a lonely road out in the middle of the desert, like happened with Mother and I, thinking that that was really a human being that had stopped, completely unaware that those were members of the Brotherhood of Light, members of the hierarchy that came at the moment of your need. Be observant. Know that everything that is real, beloved, is invisible. And everything that's an illusion is visible. And I'm talking about forms here. I'm talking about the visible forms. So train yourself to look beyond the obvious into the subtle energy of truth. If it's of God, beloved, it's going to come internally to you. You don't have to go through an outer form. In fact, you have to go through the form. You have to pierce that form to go into the essence beyond form. So that's true of anything that you've placed as a concept between you and God. Get beyond your God box, your God doctrines, your God beliefs, your mental concepts of how things have to be. You don't have a fig of an idea what things truly are. It says that no mind can even conceive nor imagine what God has prepared for those who love Him. We can't even go there. But we can allow the Holy Spirit to be our guide to awakening and truth. We can make the Holy Spirit the only voice that we choose to listen to. We can ask the Holy Spirit for correction whenever we have made a choice that is in error. You'll know when you've made an erroneous choice because you will not be at peace about it. It's going to bother you. It's going to keep coming up in your mind, and you're not going to feel clear, or you're going to feel guilt around it, or it just isn't going to sit well with you. It's not going to release you into freedom. And you know you've made a wrong interpretation. And basically, it's almost always a judgment you've placed against someone or something. In fact, it says in the Course of Miracles, whenever you are not wholly joyous, it's because you have acted unlovingly to one of God's creations. So we simply cannot be judgmental and critical and negative and gnarly and not feel pain, because we are one. And what you've done to another, you have done to the Lord. And the Lord is who you are. The Lord is in you, as you. So the only choice really down here in the free will zone of have at it is really whether you're going to listen to the lies of the ego or the truth of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's it. You can have the illusion as long as you want, or you can allow the Holy Spirit to be your guide to truth and revelation. That's it. That's it. Those are the choices. And you can take as long as you want, but ultimately and invariably, you will emerge exactly as the living Christ yourself. So that's the good news. And you always have it your way. So look around your world and see why you have your world the way you have it, and realize, I did this myself. This is the result of concepts I've held in my mind, choices I've made, and things I've judged that hold my world intact as it appears today. If you don't like it, you can always say, well, show me another way to look at it. Perhaps I've made a mistake. Perhaps there's another way I can consider this or approach it. I'm open. Holy Spirit, I receive your divine intuition within me, teaching me how to see through your perception. Well, not perception, because perception is the ego. But your revelation. Revelation is direct impartation of truth. So, try it. These are some of the meditative practices that you can begin to do, those of you that want to fully awaken. And again, get into the Course in Miracles and see if it's for you. Sai Baba has said that it is the highest teaching on this planet. And there are those people that are ready for it, and others that may need a more dualistic approach for a while. They're not quite ready to wake up. So for them, there's the happy dream. And the happy dream is, your new age, warm fuzzies, your channels, your UFOs, your metaphysical kind of positive thinking and, happy-go-lucky, warm fuzzy stuff while you deal with the miseries of your everyday life and treat it as though it were real. You take a positive approach to your nightmare. But that doesn't really waken you. It's soothing. It lulls you on so you can sleep a little bit more peacefully. But there will be a time when you will have had it with all of it, and you'll simply want to return your mind to wholeness, original innocence, holiness, and truth. And that is why the Holy Spirit has been given, because the moment we bought into the illusion, the answer was the Holy Spirit that was placed in man. And that's why the Holy Spirit, the living Word, came and embodied in flesh. And that is the voice of God within us. That is the truth. That is actually the very presence of the Master, the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus. He is the Spirit of holiness that dwells within you as the truth. So this is part of what we are looking at now tonight. So let's do a little meditation. Ready? Let's take a deep breath. And we invite the Holy Spirit to lift us in our consciousness. And just imagine that you're sitting in a cloud bank, many, many clouds floating around the periphery of your radiance. Some of these little thought form clouds are your concepts of what you think your body is all about, or your health, or your relationships, or whatever. They're all the little concepts that have peopled your world and given a seeming vicarious life to the scenarios that you've been passing through. But tonight the Holy Spirit is going to shine away those concepts and let you have a vision of heaven. So just allow the Holy Spirit to bring illumination to your mind. Just like the gradual brightening of a dimmer switch, the light gets brighter and brighter and brighter in your mind. And the great central sun, which inside your skull is actually the Christ, the Christos, the divine mind, the mind of God, the thoughts of God, that divine inner sun, great central sun in your skull, takes a brilliant golden orb appearance and begins to shine away all of those cloud-like concepts that have floated around like a Van Allen belt around the periphery of your consciousness. And they just suddenly begin to pop like soap bubbles, just poof, and vanish, vanish, vanish. And behold, you are the light itself. You are the holiness of God. You are the Holy Spirit. You are the truth, unchanging. You are beyond birth and death and modification, any form of change. You are the presence of the one power, the one love, the one life, the one divine presence, merged and at home with the Father, with the Mother, with the Holy Spirit. You are the Holy Son, the prodigal Son that has returned home to the Father, welcomed with open arms and feted and celebrated and adorned royally. For you were lost, and now you are found. You came to your senses in the middle of the pig pen and returned home to your Father's house. not met by judgment, but met with a party and a kiss and an embrace and tears of love. And beloved, that is all that awaits you, is the embrace of eternal love that you've never left, ever. Never have you ever left home. Home is where your heart has always been. Home is oneness with your Creator. Home is complete peace, complete security. Home is with you always. You're like a, you know, you carry your home in your back like a snail. Not that you're a snail, but you carry home with you, beloved, wherever you are. You can lose sight of it, you can forget it, but you can never leave it. But even if you leave it, it is only temporary, as a little nightmare of separation. And it is your duty, it is your joy, it is your birthright to return home now. That's why you've managed to listen to this program, which is somewhat radical. And you've stayed with me and you've listened because you're ready. You're ready to know that it is time to open your eyes and see the face of love and to love everything, to forgive everything, to release all judgment. There is no good. There is no evil. There is no beautiful. There is no ugly. There is nothing that has duality. There is only that which is perfect wholeness, satyam, the face of God, satnam, the true name, the true manifestation of God. And so that which dreamed to be disparate and separate dissolves. Everyone will awaken. And everyone will discover that all the while they dreamt that they were here on this earth, they were safely cradled in eternal love at home in God. We are at home in heaven with God right now. We can choose to awaken to that truth right now. Our inner guide, the Holy Spirit, responds to the slightest willingness that we exhibit to embrace of truth. And because he is God's answer to our separation and the guarantee of our remembrance of who and what we are eternally, we know that our return to perfect joy is assured. We will laugh that we ever dreamt that we were separate from God, or that all the bad things that we think happened in the world happened. And we will be so grateful to realize none of it really happened. Everyone is safely at home in God. Everyone is part of God. God has made certain that we would awaken by sending his Holy Spirit to dwell within us as his voice, as his living word, guiding us, directing us. So what could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? So let no defenses but your present trust direct your future. Your present trust in him is the defense that promises a future undisturbed, without a trace of sorrow, and with joy that constantly increases as this life becomes a holy instant set in time, but heeding only immortality. Beautiful quotation from A Course in Miracles. So, beloved, we'll go out chanting tonight, Ani Hu. Ani Hu, I am Hu. Ani Hu. God evening, beloveds. God willing, I'll see you next week. Adonai.